Good morning. Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Thursday, March 4th. Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Elliott.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Honeycutt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Meyer-S.
Here.
Nicholas. Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Sessions,
here.
Townsend,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Hines,
here.
30 present.
Prayer by Reverend Robinson.
Good morning once again. Let us pray. Holy God of all time and no time, the eternal one who stands outside of time, creator of all there is and all there will be. You have created us for the brief span of a lifetime, and we are bound within 24 hours of busyness each day. You are present to us in each moment, and yet we are reluctant sometimes to be still and know. We thank you for the big events, for the proud accomplishments of our work and the defining moments of our lives. We see you there easily as we look back. But the smaller moments, those times when we waste time or when time is wasted for us, those smaller moments get lost and we forget that you are there too. It's easy to praise you and to recognize your presence in the joyful, happy moments of our lives. But in the moments that we wish away, it's harder to see you there. So remind us, holy eternal God, that you share each and every moment of our lives. Remind us that we have come from you before our life began, and that we will return to you when our life ends. And may each and every moment, big and small, be filled with your presence. And may we know it. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. And members of the Senate, I'm sure a lot of you get phone calls from home about maybe the way we're conducting our business on this floor, or maybe some of our votes. And I had one particular constituent that was really concerned the direction I was taking. And a little bit had to do with my colleague from Laramie County they've got a nickname for him possibly, but she thought she would come down here personally and watch me and be sure that I vote correctly. So, members of the Senate, I would ask you to help welcome someone very near and dear to me, my mother, Desi Sweeler Bebout.
Welcome, Mrs. Bebout. We're glad to have you here today. Senator Sessions.
I have two reminders for us. One is, remember the race for the cure, and do we want another trophy or do we not? Standing on the Capitol steps, get your money into me. And the second one is to remind you to come visit and see a piece of history that has been preserved for always, we hope. It was found by a former senator in the basement, in a warehouse somewhere here, in pieces, and it was from the earliest that we can track it back to is 1902. So Come visit it, look at it, and we hope it'll be there for years to come as part of our history. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's up in the corner office. I thought everybody knew where that office was. It's up in the corner office, and we will have treats, cookies, whatever, beginning at 11 to 2. Thank you.
And it's for everyone, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Yeah. Your journal committee reports that the journal of March the 3rd, 2010, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor for the day is Pat Yotes, M.D. from Cheyenne. And we have no nurse. Thought for the day. Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. Messages from the House.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 268, third reading passed. The bill listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 45, school bus seat belts. Ayes 48, noes 9, excused 3. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 273, third reading failed. Mr. President, the bill listed below failed to pass the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 64, safety belt violations 2. Ayes 17, noes 41, excused 2. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 271, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bill listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 59, workers' compensation firefighters. Ayes 56, excused 3, conflict 1. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 64, mandatory minimum sentence for sexual abuse of a minor. Ayes 53, noes 5, excused 2. House Bill 79, eminent domain wind power collector lines. Ayes 58, excused 2. House Bill 94, real property assessments. Ayes 58, excused 2. House Bill 95, Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act 2. Ayes 38, 20 noes, excused 2. House Bill 97, nuclear energy production study. Ayes 58, excused 2. House Bill 111, electric transmission consideration of regional issues. Ayes 58, noes 2. House Bill 122, disposal of livestock. Ayes 58, excused 2. House Joint Resolution 9, resolution to amend United States Constitution. Ayes 52, excused 2. House Bill 15, Electrical Safety and Fire Prevention Revisions. Ayes 56, noes 1, excused 2. March the 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 286, concurrence failed. Mr. President, House Bill 18, Aquatic Invasive Species 2. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 21, noes 37, excused 2. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for for final consideration by both houses. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 278, concurrence failed. Mr. President, House Bill 83, Crimes and Offenses, Restriction for Adult Sex Offenders. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 5, noes 53, excused 2. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 287, conferees appointed Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 18. The House conferees are Representative Childers, Chairman, Representatives Brown and Teeters. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives. Message number 288, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the Senate for amendments to House Bill 83. The House conferees are Representative Harshman, Chairman, Representatives Gilmore and Gingery. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 262, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 20, text-based communications prohibited while driving. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 32, noes 26. Excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 275, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 20, text-based communications prohibited while driving. The Senate file listed above, having been reconsidered, has passed a vote on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 32, noes 26, excused 2. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 270, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 48, Licensure of Midwives. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 54, noes 3, excused 3. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 272, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 61, Health Insurance Reform 2. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 42, noes 16, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the amendments. March 3rd, 2010, House, from the House of Representatives, message number 274. Concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 25, liens. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as followed by the vote indicated. Ayes 55, noes 3, excused 2. House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Members of the Senate, we are honored today to be joined by Mr. Dale Eisler, who is a Canadian Consul General in Denver, along with his wife, Louise. The focus of Mr. Eisler's efforts in being named Consul General in November of 2007 has been to raise the profile awareness and understanding of the unique relationship between the United States and Canada in the four-state region of Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, and Montana. Carol Markham and LaDan Amrazizi are also joining us on the floor this morning. Ms. Markham is the Consul and Senior Political and Economic Officer, and Ms. Amrazizi is a Consul and Senior Trade Commissioner for the Consulate General of Canada in Denver. It is my distinct pleasure to welcome our Canadian friends to the floor of the Senate and give the Consul, although you may have the privilege of the floor. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for that warm welcome, and thank you, President Hines, and all members of the Senate for allowing me to say a few words today, and I promise I will keep it brief. It really is an honor and a privilege to be here. Today is what we've called Canada Day at the Capitol. My colleagues and I, who've been introduced from our consulate in Denver, are here in the hopes of raising awareness and understanding of the important relationship between Wyoming and the U.S. and Canada. I know what a busy and challenging legislative agenda you've had in recent weeks. These are difficult economic and fiscal times for people in government everywhere. It's no different in Canada. And I applaud each of you and your commitment to building a better Wyoming for the people of this great state. Now, I say great state not because it's some sort of cliche that I should say because I'm standing here in front of you, but because I believe it to be true. If you might indulge me for a moment, let me explain why I feel that way. Believe it or not, the feeling goes back 50 years, which is a lot. I can't believe I can say that at my age, but I can. I grew up in Saskatchewan, a farming province in Western Canada. And like with most families, there's one memorable vacation that stands out in your mind. And for me, it occurred in the summer of 1960, a camping trip my parents and my sister and brother and myself, we all took to the Black Hills in South Dakota, and then west across Wyoming to Yellowstone Park. Well, I remember the visit to Old Faithful, as anybody would, and I also remember how in those days there bears seemed to be everywhere in Yellowstone, including in our campground. But what I recall the most about that trip was the kindness of one Wyoming man. What happened was we were driving west across Wyoming to Yellowstone from the Black Hills, and the steering mechanism on my dad's 1958 Ford Meteor failed, and the car went off the highway and into the ditch. Fortunately, none of us was injured, and the steering went wonky on a straight, flat stretch of highway, but it was just a few miles after we had left the hairpin turns of a mountain pass, which I remember distinctly how freaked out my mother was about driving on this narrow highway through the mountain pass and whatnot, but fortunately, we just got through it. Anyways, there we were, not exactly sure of our location, miles from the nearest town and in the ditch. As it turned out, we weren't there long. By the time we had all stopped screaming, a man in an old beat-up red pickup truck pulled off the side of the road, stopped, and asked if we were all right. He wore a big white cowboy hat and had cowboy boots, and I remember a big silver belt buckle. And I also remember thinking he was a real cowboy, the first one I'd ever met. He offered us a ride to the nearest town, which was Cody. And the neat thing was my parents rode with him in the cab, but my brother and sister and myself, we got to ride in the back with the wind in our hair and everything. In those days, I think it was legal back in those days. I don't know, maybe it's still, is it legal? No, I didn't think it would be anymore. I know it is in most places. But not only did he give us a ride into town, he arranged with the local service station to tow our car in for repair and helped us find a motel for the night. The next day, when we picked up our car to continue the journey to Yellowstone, the man at the service station told my dad there was no charge. It had been taken care of by the man who had given us a ride. We were never able to thank him personally, but his generosity was never forgotten. And since that day, whenever I think of Wyoming, I think of the kindness of a stranger that he showed a family from Canada. I tell you that story because I'm a big believer that the close friendship between our two countries is rooted in really similar countless stories on both sides of the border. That's not to say as two independent and sovereign nations we don't have our differences, we do. Or that in the future we're going to agree on everything, we won't. But we do have the common values that allow us to resolve our few differences because we see in each other much of ourselves. In this day and age, where tensions, divisions, clash of social and political cultures often define relations between nations, the U.S. and Canada share a unique partnership that is really a model for a troubled world. There are countless ways to measure that special relationship. The economic ties between the U.S. and Canada are truly unparalleled. The two-way bilateral trade is more than $600 billion a year. Our economies are so closely integrated that we make things together with our companies straddling both sides of the border. Canada, believe it or not, is your biggest market, your biggest export market. The U.S. exports more to Canada than it does to the U.K., Germany, Japan, and China combined. That's how big the Canadian market is for the United States, bigger than all those other countries put together for you. More than 14,000 jobs in Wyoming depend on trade with Canada. And one small example of that relationship is Encana, a Calgary-based oil and gas company that I'm sure you all know well, which I believe is the largest or among the largest corporate taxpayers in your state. Canada is also your biggest energy supplier and key to North American energy security. You import more oil every day from Canada than you do from Saudi Arabia and Kuwait combined, more than from Venezuela and Iraq combined, every day. Canada's oil sands represent the second largest oil deposit in the world, with 170 billion barrels, and it's 750 miles from the Canada-U.S. border. Because we recognize those truths, we are able to cooperatively address common issues. A perfect example is the recent agreement our two nations reached to ensure companies on both sides of the border have access to government procurement contracts at the state and provincial level. We achieved that together because we both realized jobs are better secured by opening economic opportunities than by closing them. But those economic facts don't tell a deeper story about our two nations. What they do, I think, is reflect something more fundamental about us as people. The underpinnings of that economic relationship, the factors that allow it to flourish, are our political and social values that we share. Both our countries believe in similar principles that shape our societies. As our Prime Minister Stephen Harper explains, Canada is a nation rooted in the values of freedom, democracy, human rights, and the rule of law. We believe in individual enterprise and fairness. Ours, like yours, is a nation where we respect the individual and seek to create a society that offers opportunity to all. Those similar values are manifest in our democratic societies, where we cherish free speech, free and fair elections, and a commitment to help the less fortunate among us so they too can share in the blessings of our national communities. It is because we have so much in common that our national interests throughout history have often intersected. Our friendship has been manifested in the defense of our shared values when Canadian and U.S. soldiers have fought and died together in the First and Second World Wars, in Korea, the Gulf War, Kosovo, and Bosnia. And it is there to be seen today in Afghanistan as soldiers and aid workers from our two nations seek to bring peace and security to the long-suffering people of that troubled land. To conclude, allow me another personal reflection that I think gets to the heart of the matter of the special relationship between our two countries. As I thought about what I would say today, I wanted to get beyond economics and trade statistics, important as though they might be. I believe that they really do reflect something more profound about the U.S.-Canada relationship. And the person who put it all in perspective for me was Chuck Engbretson, a senior master sergeant with the Wyoming National Guard here in Cheyenne, and a veteran of more than 22 years of military service to his country. And Chuck and his wife, Vicky, I think are in the gallery today. There they are right there, from the Wyoming National Guard, Chuck and Vicky Engbretson. Chuck... Chuck spent 5.5 months in Afghanistan in 2008. He was stationed in Kandahar in the south of Afghanistan, which is a particularly tough region in the battle against insurgents, and it's a region where 2,800 Canadian soldiers are responsible for maintaining a security perimeter around Kandahar. I have the deepest respect for them, Chuck says of his Canadian comrades. They did a lion's share of the work and have paid a heavy price. What is seared into his mind about those days were the ramp ceremonies, they call them. Hundreds of soldiers would gather in a show of respect for their fallen comrades when their bodies were being sent home to loved ones. He remembers one ramp ceremony in particular in the summer of 2008 for two fallen Canadians. It was unbearably hot, 137 degrees on the tarmac. It felt like the pavement was burning off the bottom of your boots, Chuck says. What stands out in my memory was how many came out for the ceremony. There were hundreds of us in the heat to show our respect. I didn't know those two who had died, but they felt like brothers. Those are the kind of human emotions that I believe are the true fiber of the special U.S.-Canada relationship, a friendship rooted in our shared democratic values, our common heritage, and our family ties, a friendship that was deepened on the battlefields of Europe and other distant lands. It's why in Afghanistan, Chuck Engbretson from Cheyenne, Wyoming, would stand at attention in the stifling heat and salute the departing bodies of his unknown friends from Canada. That's really why we're here today, to remind ourselves and be thankful that the United States and Canada share a relationship unequaled in an often troubled world. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming to Wyoming and for recognizing the importance of our state in the international community. We look forward to working with you on issues that are important to the people of Wyoming and Canada. Thank you again. Concurrences? Senator Cooper, are you ready on message 265?
I am, Mr. President.
Reading clerk, please read in the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives. Message number 265, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 40, Establishment of Highways. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 32, noes 25, excused 3. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Tricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. President, I move message number 265, concurrence requested to Senate File 40, Establishment of Highways, and ask that the Senate to vote aye. Mr. President, this is a amendment is fine. It just added a few words to the original amendment by saying that the county commissioners have to be in acceptance of the road, and also that they can only accept the roads if it's within their own county. So it's the amendment is just fine, and I ask you to vote aye on the concurrence.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 40, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyerett?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote?
Burns?
Aye to no. Case, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 40.
Senate File.
Message 272. Senator Scott, are you ready on this message?
I got this one, yeah.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
The reading clerk, please read in the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 272, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 61, Health Insurance Reform 2. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 42, no 16, excused 2. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move that we do concur on House amendments to Senate File 61, and I ask you to vote aye. Mr. President, this is the Health Insurance Reform Pilot Project bill. I won't say that all the House did was leave their mark on the bill, but they didn't do any harm, and they did some relatively minor things that, if anything, are an assistance. They added the House committee over there, the Labor Committee, added the Joint Labor, Health and Social Services Committee to the list of people to get the reports on the evaluations on this. That's the First Amendment. That's harmless. The second one, the item of substance there, is they want to make sure that if we take federal or private money to help in this, that we aren't incurring a bunch of new obligations, and they did make an exception for reporting to donors, and anybody you get a grant from will want some reporting. So that one's all right. They moved the date when the project can be expanded, and remember, it can't be expanded unless we appropriate some more money. But the structure was, we'll start out with 500, get the system working, and then go to the larger 3,000. They moved the date 3 months there to correspond with the first meaningful evaluation report. That makes sense. It doesn't do any harm. And then we can disenroll people for failure to keep on working. This is intended for people that are working and making an effort. And they limited the exceptions to that to illness, extended illness. And that makes sense, too. We don't want to artificially find that we're saving money when we really aren't by kicking out people that are sick. They ought to stay on. So that makes sense. Mr. President, that's all they did. It doesn't do any harm, and I urge the Senate to concur.
The motion is that the Senate concur on Senate File 61 and that you vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer-S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 61. Senator Von Flatern, are you ready on message 252? Reading clerk, please read in the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 252, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 22, State Active Duty Medical Expense Reimbursement. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask the Senate to concur with House message number 252, Senate File 22, State Active Duty Medical Expense Reimbursement.
and please vote no. They sent this over, and it was just some language changes. I do agree with a couple of their cleanups. It all happens on page 2, starting on line 21. Oh, well, after reading it about 5 times, I realized it really didn't make a lot of sense to me. And then I emailed the sponsor of the amendment, and he said, oh, by the way, they didn't send you part of the amendment. So he gave me a little bit on email of what the rest of the amendment was. When I put it together, I still think he's trying to take redundancies out. And the rest of the amendment does go to line 24. He strikes all of that on page 2, and then he strikes department, first word, on page 3. That does take some redundancy, but it still doesn't read right for what we understood it to mean. So I'd like to just go back over. The sponsor of the amendment has agreed that some of it's needed, some of it's not needed. So we'll just clean it up and bring it back. So I ask your no vote.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate file 22, and you've been asked to vote no. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geist?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings? Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Larson,
no.
Martin,
no.
Massey,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Meyer-S,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
no.
Townsend,
no.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Hines.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 22. The conference committee will be Senator Von Flatern, Chairman, Senator Dockstader, and Senator Esquibel. Message number 270. Senator Johnson, are you ready on this message?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Would reading clerk please read in the message?
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 270. Concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 48, Licensure of Midwives. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 54, noes 3, excused 3. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move concurrence on message 270 for Senate file 48, licensure of midwife. Midwives, and I ask that the Senate vote aye. On the amendments that were added onto it down there, there was a standing committee amendment that just did some corrections that were asked for by our LSO staff when they reviewed it before the committee went on it. There's a very long amendment that comes in next that tightens it down quite a bit. The main part in here, the couple of main parts, first of all, is that any nurse midwife who's on the board has to be licensed in Wyoming within a year of his or her appointment. And then there was a lot of substituting person licensed under Nurse Practice Act and deleting the word nurse. And then page 25, line 17, they talked about fees, and it was in accordance with Wyoming Statute 331201, which essentially reads, fees shall be established in amount to ensure that to the extent practical, the total revenue generated from the fees collected approximates but does not exceed the direct indirect costs of administering the regulatory provisions required for the profession or occupation under this title. And with that, unless there are any questions, Mr. President, I ask for your aye vote on the concurrence.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 48, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, will please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer? Meyer S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 48. Message 253. Are you ready, Senator Cole?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
Reading clerk, please read in the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 253. Concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 42, School Finance Student Enrichment Instruction. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 45, noes 13, excused 2. House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Mr. Senator President, Cole. I move the Senate do concur on message number 253, being original Senate File 42, School Finance Student Enrichment Instructions. What this is, it's a Sheridan County amendment, as you can see. They have a district up there that has a four-day week, and they like to use this program during the regular school year, not on any of the days as prescribed by law. You know, they have to do 185 days a year. I don't think this really hurts the program. There's also a program in Wind River that does the same thing. I'd urge that you adopt the concurrence request.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 42, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings? Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer S.
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 7 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 42. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Thank you. Up in the West Gallery, we have the second grade class from the Snowy Range Academy. If folks up there would stand, Senator Nicholas and I ask you to welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. We're glad to have you visit us today. Senator Esquibel, are you ready on message 275?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
Reading clerk, please read in the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 275, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 20, text-based communications prohibited while driving. The Senate file listed above, having been reconsidered, has passed a vote on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 32, noes 26, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move concurrence on message number 275, which is original Senate file number 20, text-based communications prohibited while driving. And, Mr. President, members of the body, there were several amendments made by the House. I think it weakened it a little bit, but, I would still ask you to concur with the House on this. They did make some changes. For example, on line two, they included handheld electronic wireless communication, included the word handheld, and did that throughout the bill to make it clear that it's that we're talking about handheld electronic wireless communications. They also deleted one section on page two from line 15 to 17 and just reworded that a little bit, but the effect is the same thing, that emergency responder would be exempt from this law. They could still use text messaging communication when performing their job. The other major amendment that was included was the definition of an electronic the definition of what a voice operator or hands-free technology means, and their definition, or the definition that they included, is that that's technology that allows a user to write, send, or read a text-based communication without the use of either hand, except to activate, deactivate, or initiate a feature or function. And, Mr. President, with modern technology, the way it's moving, apparently there is some technology which allows you to voice activate an electronic device that would send a text message to the receiver. So even though I think this weakens the bill somewhat, I would still vote on. I would still ask you to concur with the House on this on their amendments. Thank you, Mr. President. I'll try to answer any questions if there are any.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I think it does more than weaken the bill. I think it makes the bill quite confusing. For instance, by changing it from handheld to electronic handheld, is that a description of the device itself? So it's a device that's designed to be held in your hand, or is it a description of what you're doing with the device at the time? So if you've got a cell phone that you can text with, does that mean you can put it on the armrest next to you while you're driving, which actually pulls your eyes more away from the road?
Other questions for Senator Esquivel? Senator Esquivel.
Mr. President, Senator, the way I read it is that as long as you're using a device without the use of either hand, whether it's on the dashboard or on the armrest, I guess that's okay.
Senator Burns.
I would advise the Senate to not concur with this. It actually makes the use of these devices, it sets up a loophole in which you can use devices legally, but actually makes the situation more dangerous because it pulls it away from your vision of the road itself. If you're texting like this and you're looking ahead, that's dangerous enough because you're looking down to an extent. Now it says if you're not holding it, it's legal, which means now you can put it further away because you're not holding it in your hand. You can have it on a little bracket off to the side, or you could have it on your armrest next to you. So now you're looking a full 90 degrees away for a further time, for longer time, that you're not looking at the road. Mr. President, I respectfully ask that we go back and talk to the House members about this language.
Mr. President.
Senator Esquivel.
These devices, wherever they might be, as long as it's voice-operated, except to activate, so you wouldn't be texting, but it could be voice-activated, and your voice, as I understand it, would send that text message to someone else. But the driver himself or herself would not be texting manually. It would be texting by a voice, is the way I read it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Von Platerin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do ask you to concur and vote aye on this same on this message. If you go to page 2 of their list of amendments and you look at where they go to page 3 after line 12, insert voice-operated or hands-free technology means technology that allows the user to write, send, or read a text-based communication without the use of either hand, except to activate, deactivate, or initiate a function, which was part of the original bill. You can still use a cell phone. All this does, and I agree, it does weaken it a bit because I can see that you can read, but it's for voice-synthesized, voice-to-text voice, so you can speak, and the phone will turn it into a text message or an email and send it out. People can actually text you now on some phones. It comes in as a text, and you can set your phone up to actually give it to you as a voice. So you'll hear a voice computer read their text. That exists today. They didn't want to catch that kind of technology because it is totally hands-free in our bill, and that's why they put this in. Yes, it does weaken it slightly, but in reality, it's the new technology. You cannot use your hands to be typing because that's what the definition says is not part of this, but you could, unfortunately, still look over and read something or have it mounted on your steering wheel or right up in front of your dashboard or put it on the flat screen in the back TV, in the back seat, whatever you want to do. But I ask for your aye vote.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, with all due respect, I'm not referring to the voice-activated handheld electronic devices. I'm talking about those devices that are not voice-activated. And if the change in the definition or the change of the word handheld electronic, does that mean that if you're not holding it, then it's legal? If you just have it off up to the side here, so now you're both tapping and reading, looking off to the side, and I'll go back to my original question. Handheld electronic device, is that a description of the device, or is that a description of what you're doing with the device at the time? Are you holding it in your hand, or is that the type of device you're talking about? And in fact, does that now mean that I could have a laptop in the seat next to me? Because now it's not a handheld electronic device. So we're on the horns of a dilemma here. If it means one thing, it opens one loophole, and if it means another thing, it opens up another loophole.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, look at the words. It says voice operated, okay, or hands-free technology. Hands-free technology or voice-operated. It does not mean that you can use it with your hands. It doesn't mean you can set your computer up unless it is voice-operated, and then you can talk into it just like you can some of the new phones. Or hands-free technology. Is that a phone? No. Hands-free technology is not a phone. You have to have a hand on your phone. So that's what that came in. It came in because of the voice-activated technology that's out there.
Senator Ross.
Sorry. Mr. President, in answer to the question to the good senator from Sheridan, his question with regards to, is it describe the device or the operation? It describes the device.
Senator Burns.
I'm not going to drag it out.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 20, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer-S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 7 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 20. Mr. Vice President, are you ready on message 274?
I am.
Reading clerk, please read in the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 274, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 25, liens. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 55, noes 3, excused 2. The House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 274, concurrence request, to Senate File 25, liens, and ask the body to vote no. Members of the body, there are a number of amendments that were put on in the House, some of which probably will be okay, but probably need to be addressed in a conference committee. There are some policy questions that need to be addressed in conference with regard to attorney's fees provision that was deleted by the House. In addition, they deleted a provision with regard to the entity being able to file a lien to be duly licensed and qualified in the state of Wyoming. And also there is a substantive amendment. It's rather short, but it is one that really needs to be discussed in conference committee, and that has to do with the amendment on page 2, line 50, page 58, line 18, where they went from 20 days down to 10. Now, this was carefully thought out during the interim with regards to the timing of when certain things occur, and we really need to talk about that one because that is a major policy decision for us in terms of the timing of preliminary notices, notice of intent to file lien, and then you've got your lien statements, and this changes some of that time frame. So we'd urge you to vote no, allow us to go back. I believe we'll come back with a product that will be acceptable to both houses.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 25, and you've been asked to vote no. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey. Meyer.
No.
Meyer S.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
No.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
No.
Townsend.
No.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Hines.
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 25. The conference committee will be Senator Ross, Chairman, Senator Elliott, and Senator Scott. Shall we do this now? Or wait till after you. And then all the signing. Okay. Next, Joint Conference Committee reports. Senator Nicholas, are you ready on message 214, Joint Conference Committee Report on Senate File 75?
I am.
Reading clerk, read in the message, please.
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate File 75, School District Health Insurance 2, reference message, House message number 241 to the engrossed copy. Signing for the House. Representative Harshman, Hammonds, and Jorgensen, signing for the Senate, Senators Nicholas, Martin, and Townsend.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I move the adoption of the Joint Conference Committee report for Senate File 75 and ask that you vote aye. You'll recall that this is the bill that provides the option for school districts to join the state insurance plan. There was a provision that in the event that the districts did join the plan, that the A&I would have an opportunity to hire additional employees to administer the plan. The Senate took all of that those employees out, which creates a difficulty because they do have to service the new members if they join. What we did is the House agreed to delete their amendment. But we did add the following language, provision that provides that the positions would only be filled if necessary to administer the act, and the positions are authorized to be filled by the governor. So we'll have some oversight to make sure that employees aren't added. Once again, these employees, if they're employed, are not paid by the general fund. They're paid out of the funds that are out of the premiums that employees pay for health insurance. So I'd ask you to vote aye.
Okay. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee number one, message 214, reference to Senate File 75, and you've asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader. Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Myers.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1, Message 214, reference to Senate File 75. Do I just go ahead and announce? One moment. Need a message. Okay, signing of enrolled acts. We are that order of business, signing enrolled act, Senate Enrolled Act number 17.
Senate Enrolled Act number 17 being original Senate File 2.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 17, being original Senate File number 2. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 18.
Senate Enrolled Act number 18, being original Senate File 23.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 23, being original. I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 18, being original Senate File number 23. That's so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 19.
Senate Enrolled Act number 19, being original Senate File 24.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 19, being Senate original for being original Senate File number 24. That's so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 20.
Senate Enrolled Act number 20, being original Senate File 32.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 20, being Senate original file, Senate number 32. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 21.
Senate Enrolled Act number 21, being original Senate File 37.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 21, being original Senate File number 37. That's so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 22.
Senate Enrolled Act number 22, being original Senate File 41.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 22, being original Senate File number 41. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 23.
Senate Enrolled Act number 23, being original Senate File 53.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 23, being original Senate File number 53. That's so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 24.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 24, being Original Senate File 54.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 24, being Original Senate File Number 54. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 25.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 25, being Original Senate File 62.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 25, being Original Senate File Number 62. That's so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 26.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 26, being Original Senate File 71.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 26, being Original Senate File Number 71. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 27.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 27, being Original Senate File 72.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 27, being Original Senate File Number 72. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 28.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 28, being Original Senate File 57.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 28, being Original Senate File Number 57. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 29.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 29, being Original Senate File 27.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 29, being Original Senate File 27. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 30.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 30, being Original Senate File 34.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 30, being Original Senate File Number 34. That's so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 31.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 31, being Original Senate File 52.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 31, being Original Senate File Number 52. That's so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 32.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 32, being Original Senate File 56.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 32, being Original Senate File Number 56. That's so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 33.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 33, being Original Senate File 68.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 33, being Original Senate File Number 68. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 34.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 34, being Original Senate File 69.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 34, being Original Senate File Number 69. That's so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 35.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 35, being Original Senate Bill 15.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 35, being Original Senate File Number 15. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 36.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 36, being Original Senate File 74.
I'm about to sign Senate Unrolled Act Number 36, being original Senate File Number 74. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 37.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 37, being original Senate File 78.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 37, being original Senate File Number 78. That's so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 38.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 38, being original Senate File 66.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 38, being original Senate File Number 66. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 39.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 39, being original Senate File 45.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 39, being original Senate File Number 45. That's so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 40.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 40, being original Senate File 59.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 40, being original Senate File Number 59. I have so signed. Messages from the House. Messages from the House.
March 4th, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 292, concurrence failed. Mr. President, House Bill 72, Regulation of Wind Energy Facilities. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, noes 58, excused 2. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the Light Committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. March the 4th, 2010, from the House of Representatives. Concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 44, Taxation of Property Used for Economic Development. Ayes 55, noes 3, excused 2. House Bill 61, Legal Services Funding. Ayes 53, noes 5, excused 2. House Bill 65, Revisers Bill. Ayes 58, excused 2. House Bill 89, Resident Contractor Preferences. Ayes 58, excused 2. House Bill 128, Health Insurance Interstate Purchase. Ayes 56, excused 2, conflict 2. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. March the 4th, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 294, conferees appointed Joint Conference Committee number 1. The Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 13. The House conferees are Representative Semlich, Chairman, Representative K.X. Escobel and Representative Shepperson. Message number 295, conferees appointed Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, The Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the Light Committee Number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 31. The House conferees are Representative Childers, Chairman, Representative Manas, and Representative Wallace. From the House of Representatives, message number 296, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee Number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed the House conferees to meet with the Light Committee Number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 7. The House conferees are Representative Semlick, Chairman, Representative Yagi, and Representative Stewart. From the House of Representatives, message number 297, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee Number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the Light Committee Number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 36. The House conferees are Representative R. Anderson, Representative Bilkrey, and Representative Semlick. From the House of Representatives, message number 298, Joint Conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee Number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the Light Committee Number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 39. The House conferees are Representative McComey, Chairman, Representative Lubnow, and Patton. From the House of Representatives, message number 299, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee Number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the Light Committee Number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 72. The House conferees are Representative Lockhart, Chairman, Representatives Kraft and Stubson, Patricia Benson, House Chief Clerk.
Conference Committee members for House Bill 72, Perkins, Chairman, Anderson, and Martin. On House Bill 83, Jennings, Chairman, Scott and Escrabel. And on House Bill 18, Burns, Chairman, Sessions, and Landon. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate be at recess until 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your conference committee on Senate File 7 will meet at 1 o'clock in S-15, and then we'll meet at 1:30 on Senate File 13 at 1:30 up in S-15.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'd like to remind the members of the body that the State Archives facilities will be open for a tour from 4 to 6 of today over at the Barrett Building.
You've heard the message that the Senate stand recess until 2 p.m. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, one other announcement before we take our noon recess. Management Council will meet this afternoon at 2:30. And approximate time, but anyway, the purpose of this meeting this afternoon with the Management Council will be to consider interim study topics.
Yes, ma'am. Before we vote on that motion, I'm going to call or tell my fellow senator that we have an entertainment that will take a few minutes here while we have time. And David Rombeck, who is Wyoming own poet laureate, will be his sixth year with Mr. Rombeck to join us on the floor to read one of his poems. Mr. Rombeck lives in Buffalo and is an award-winning author of several books of poetry and prose. He has also won creative writing fellowships from the National Endowment of the Art. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to welcome Wyoming poet laureate David Rombeck. David?
Thank you all very much. Do I have an on-off switch here? Do I have an on-off switch, or am I okay with this? Good. Thank you all very much. I'm really sorry to come at the very end when you're like, it's recess, let's go. Oh, by the way, the poet laureate's showing up again. It's too bad, but I am going to try and say a few things briefly. I hope it won't be too painful for you all. I have had the great honor to come here before you for a number of years, and some of you have heard me speak before, probably know that I'm very interested in the places where we come together in our communities, the places where the work of a legislator and an artist might be shared. I'm really interested in the things that we do as citizens, as members of our communities, whether we occupy this role or that role in those communities. So today I want to talk about something I've been thinking about a great deal through two poems, and that is my sense of the importance of working on behalf of a long-distant future. I have a daughter who's now a young adult, and I think a great deal about the kind of world which I am part of the community that is bequeathing this world to her. And I don't want to go to my own grave. I'm old enough to think about that, too, thinking I did something really wrong in terms of my children and grandchildren. So I want to read two things that are about kids. And I guess if I have any kind of inspirational message or goading message, it's just for all of us to think about the things we share and the kind of future we want to build. And I know that's part of your daily work all the time. So here are two little poems. One's called Surprise Breakfast. One winter morning, I get up early to clean the ash from the fire grate and find my daughter, 8, in the kitchen, stumping around pretending she has a peg leg, while also breaking eggs into a bowl, separating yolks and whites, then mixing oil and milk. Her hands are smooth, not so much from lack of labor as youth. She's making pancakes for me, a surprise I have accidentally ruined. You never get up early, she says. Now she's measuring the baking powder into the flour, beating the egg whites into stiff peaks. It's true. When I wake in the dark, I roll to my side and pull the covers back over my head. It was too cold to sleep, I say. I thought I'd get the kitchen warm before you were up. Aside from the scraping of the small flat shovel on the iron grate and the wooden spoon turning in the bowl, the room is quiet. I lift the gray ash and lay it carefully into a bucket to take outside. Hey, how'd you lose your leg? I ask my daughter. At sea, she tells me. I fell overboard in a storm and a shark attacked me. But I'm fine. She does a little spin on her good leg, some batter flying from the spoon. I can hear the popping of the oil in the hot pan. Are you ready? She asks, thumping back to the stove. Yes, I'm ready. And I sit down with a fork in my hand, dreaming that one day the world will be ready too. So that's thinking about her as an 8-year-old and wondering about the strangeness of that time when she's trying to do for others. And then one more that I'll just say to you that comes from later in her life, more recent now. It's called Sunday Morning Early. My daughter and I paddle identical red kayaks across the lake. Pulling hard, we slip easily through the water. Far from either shore, it occurs to me that my daughter's a young woman. And suddenly, everything is a metaphor for how short a time we are granted on earth. The red boats in the blue-black sea, the russet and gold of late summer's sunburnt grasses, the empty blue sky. I stop and we listen to the stillness. And I say, it's Sunday, and here we are in the Church of the Out of Doors. Then wish I'd had the good sense to keep quiet. That's the trick in life, learning to leave well enough alone. The boats drift to the north, where the chirring of grasshoppers comes to us from across the rocky hills. A clap of thunder beyond those hills. How well sound travels over water. I want to say just the right thing. I want to say something stronger and truer than a lame, I love you. I want my daughter to know that through her, I live a life that was closed to me before. I paddle up beside her, lean out from the boat, and touch her hand. I start to speak, then I stop. Those are two poems about children in my life, and I hope that they have some relevance for all of us in our communities. I thank you for allowing the Poet Laureate to come here each year and speak to you, to think about the intersection of our work as citizens, parents, legislators, whatever role we occupy. So thanks, and have a very nice recess until 2 p.m.
Thank you, David. We're glad you could join us today and tell your family hello. Senator Honeycutt. Also like to recognize Senator Mockler and thank you for visiting us today. Glad to have you. You've heard the motion that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carried, and we are in recess.